Okay, Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Schoenfeld, thank you very much for another opportunity to share some words of Torah. I know it's not Tisha B'Av, but it feels weird to say good afternoon on a day like this between the heat and the fast day. So kol hakavod to everyone who came out for a shir after davening. Salvechik has this idea that the Avelis of Bein HaMetzarim of the 3 weeks is really patterned after the Avelis, Rachman Latzan, for Anifter. That the 3 weeks has the status of Yud Beis Chodesh, the year after the Nifter passes away, where there's no haircuts, there's no music, there's no weddings, and that's why they parallel each other. The 9 days gets more intense. It's like Shloshim, where there's no showers, there's no ironing, nail cutting, wearing freshly laundered clothes. And Tisha B'Av itself is all the way up to being Shiva, sitting on the floor, not wearing leather shoes, not learning Torah, not greeting, no marital relations. That really parallels Shiva. It's an interesting idea. The resemblance is striking, and it makes sense. The idea of mourning, of feeling a loss, they do parallel each other. One difficulty is that it's backwards. When it comes to mourning over an individual, you start off with Shiva, with the intense mourning, and it gets less over time, Shloshim, and then Yud Beis Kodesh. Here, he's going the opposite. We're saying Chazal apparently instituted that it starts off with Yud Beis Kodesh, and then it goes to Shloshim, and then it goes to Shiva. So the order is very interesting and needs to be explained. Why did Chazal Masakin the order the opposite? A second question I wanted to deal with is there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, in Simin Shin Sadi Dalet, that it's forbidden to mourn excessively for a mace. And excessively doesn't just mean in terms of intensity. The Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, one is not permitted to injure oneself or to pull out hair over the loss of a relative, but also in terms of time. Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein miskashin al ha-meis yosur midai. V'chol miskashin alav yosur midai al meis achar hu boche. Shulchan Aruch is quoting from the Gemara in Moed Katan, in Daf Chav Zayin. The Gemara says, a person who is mourning excessively in terms of time, Gemara says 3 days were designated for crying, and 7 days for Shiva, and maybe Shloshim, maybe for a big Talmud Chacham, a little bit longer, but that's it, never more than a year. And there was a woman, Nebuch, the Gemara tells the story of a woman who had 7 children, and she mourned excessively after losing one of her children. And the story doesn't end very well for her. Gemara says it's not responsible for a person to mourn excessively because Hashem says, Iyatem rachmanim yosir mimeni. Hashem says, you're not any more compassionate than I am, if I felt this is the right thing to do. So there's a grace period where it's appropriate to mourn, but that's it. So if that's the case, that there's supposed to be a limit in terms of time for mourning something, I think we've kind of passed a year for the Beis HaMikdash by a lot. We've passed it so many thousands of years over. If Salvechik is right that this idea of Avelis for the Churban HaBayis is related to Avelis for a mace, then why is it okay that it seems to go on for thousands of years? What happened to the rule of Ein Miskash and Al Meis Yosur Midai? So those are 2 questions I would like to get back to toward the end of this year. Number one, why is the Avelis in reverse order? And number two, why is it not a violation of mourning excessively in terms of time for the Churban HaBayis? You also could ask, aside from time, it's also excessive in terms of what we do. We think of the 3 weeks as a once-a-year opportunity to have a Zecher L'Churban, to remember this idea of losing the Beis HaMikdash. The reality is that Zecher L'Churban's Chazal established throughout the year all over the place. I'd like to read with you the Gemara in Bava Basra, on Daf Samach Amud Beis. The Gemara goes through the history of the Churban HaBayis number 2 and the Zecher L'Churbans that cropped up afterwards. This is the Gemara on Samach Amud Beis in Bava Basra. Tan Rabbanan. Kesheharav HaBayis B'Shnia, after the second Churban HaBayis, Rabu Prushim B'Yisrael, there was an increase of people who felt that they couldn't move on. They had to desist from physical pleasure. Shelo Lechol Basar V'Shelo L'Shtos Yayin, they said, not just for the 9 days, never, no more meat, no more wine, ever. Nitfa Lehen Rabbi Yoshua, so one of the leaders of the time, Rabbi Yoshua, spoke to them. If you remember the story in Maseches Gittin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the chief rabbi at the time of the Churban HaBayis. He's the one who snuck out of the city of Yerushalayim to meet with Vespasian, who later became the Caesar. And the Gemara says that his Talmidim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, carried him out in that casket to sneak him out of the city. Rabbi Yoshua was one of the people who made it through the Churban, and he lived through it. And he said to these people, Amr Lahen, Banai, Mipnei Ma'ayatem Ochlem Basar, V'inatem Shosem Yayin. What's with this strange Chumrah? Amr Lo, Nocha Basar, Shemimenu Makriven Al Gabim Mizbeach, V'achshav Batel, How can we go on eating meat? The Mizbeach, which used to get all the meat, is no longer in existence. Nishta Yayin, Sheminaskin al Gabi HaMizbeach V'yach Shabbatel. Can we possibly drink wine when the Mizbeach used to get libations of wine poured down the pipes every single day, and now we're not going to, and we're going to drink wine nowadays? No way. So Amar Lahem, he said, okay, Imkain, that makes sense so far, but why are you stopping there? Lechem lo nochel. Shekvar batel menachos. If you're going to really not have anything that was once offered on the Mizbeach, you shouldn't be allowed to have bread anymore. They used to offer bread karbonos called menachos on the Mizbeach, so maybe you shouldn't eat bread anymore. And they said, great idea, excellent chumrah. After Beperos, great. Thank you for telling us that. So no more wheat, no more meat, no more wine, and no more bread. We can just survive on fruits. So he says, not so fast. Peros la nochal, shekvar batel bikurim. They used to offer fruits and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, so you shouldn't eat fruits either. He said, you're right, excellent idea, afshar beperos acherim. Bikurim was only brought from Shivas Aminim, so we're not going to eat pomegranates and grapes, but we could eat apples and pears. Great idea. So he says, okay, mayim lo nishta. Shekvar batel nisach hamayim. On Sukkot, they used to have a big simchas beis HaShoeva, where they would draw water and they would pour it on the Mizbeach as a merit for rain throughout the year. Maybe no more water. Shasku. So now they have nothing to say. They realize that you can't possibly survive without water, without liquid. So he explained his point. Amr lehen, banai, bova omr lechem. I'm going to explain to you what's going on over here. Shalolis abba kol ikar iefshar. You can't do nothing. You have the right idea. You should try to make on some kind of zecher lechorban. You should feel some kind of tzar. You can't do nothing. Shekvar nigzer gzera. The Rashbam here explains that means that, yes, the temple was destroyed, and there's a reason, that gzera is a reason for us to take on something intense. Ulis abel yoser midai, there's that phrase again, but to mourn excessively, iefshar. Shein goes from gzera la tzibur, elem kain rov tzibur yachol lamud ba. But you can't mourn excessively because people can't keep that up. You can't live a life without water, without bread, without meat, without wine. It's just not practical. So what are we supposed to do? We can't do nothing, and we can't do too much. When a person builds a new house, don't plaster the entire house. The kama, amr of Yosef, amma al amma. A person should leave one amma by an amma, a square, not plastered. Amr of chizda, kenegad pesach. And this should be when you first walk in the house, right opposite the door, so you can see it right away. That's one type of appropriate zecher l'chorban he's saying. When a person builds a house, downsize your house, or don't build your house and plaster it completely. Number two, also Adam called Tzarchei Seuda Meshayer Davar Mu'at. The person has a big party for guests, a big meal. Don't serve everything on the menu. Mahi, what should you leave out? Amr of Papa Kasa Daharsana, some type of fish appetizer. Don't serve everything on the menu. Show that you're not happy. You're not having a full celebration. Number three, Osa Isha Kol Tachshi Teha Umeshayeres Davar Mu'at. When a woman gets dressed up in her fancy makeup and her jewelry, don't wear everything that she normally wears after the Churban Abayis. Mahi amarav bas tzeda, she shouldn't wear all the makeup, all the creams that she usually wears. These are the Gemara's three examples. What's the source? Says the Gemara, what's the source that it's appropriate to make a zecher l'chor, but not your intense over, you know, asceticism, but what is the source that's appropriate to take on something? Shenamar, famous psukim, imesh hachecher v'yushalayim tishkach yamini, tidbak v'shoni l'chiki, imo eskerechi, imo alas v'yushalayim l'rosam pasi. This idea that we should not forget Yerushalayim, so it's appropriate to take on some important things. Mayal Rosh Simchasi, so what does it mean, Al Rosh Simchasi? It's pashtus, as it means that on top, if you're doing something happy, having a big wedding, a big party, so you do something to remember it on top of your simcha, but the Gemara darshan is a deeper level of interpretation. Rosh could mean head. Ze Amar Yitzchak, Ze Efer Makla Sheber Rosh Chasanim. Al Rosh Simchasi is actually avelis to have on the head of the chasan, to put ashes. And the last Mishnah, Maseches Sota, talks about after the Churban Abayis, they stopped having fancy crowns and tiaras that the Chasan and Kali used to wear, to downsize the head, to downsize the dress, to show appropriate mourning for Yerushalayim. Yeshua concludes, V'chol ha'mes abel al Yerushalayim, zocha v'roeh b'simchasa. Whoever mourns for Yerushalayim, he is worthy and he is seeing its joy. So that's the Gemara's idea, that it is appropriate to take on a zecher l'chor, but not just during the 3 weeks, but all year round. It is appropriate to feel that loss by changing what we do and feeling a sense of avelus. The Gemara's examples were when a person builds a house, when a person gets dressed up, and when a person serves a meal. So the Ben Yoyada, which is the commentary of the Ben Ish Chai, lived in the 1800s in Baghdad, he wrote a commentary on the Agadah of Shas. So he writes, why these three things? Because the main three things we're missing in the Beis HaMikdash are, one, the bias. So our bias is not complete. Number two is the Mizbeach, where they used to offer meat and wine and karbanos. So swearing off all meat and wine is a bad idea, but limiting our suda is a good idea. And lastly, we're missing the big day kahuna. We're missing the fancy clothing we used to wear, so we kind of downsize, we kind of degrade a little bit the clothing that we wear. And these are all quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch at the end of Hilchos Tisha B'Av in Aruch Hayim Tav Kuf Samach, he talks about all these halachos. We don't necessarily practice all these halachos, but they are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Sif Aleph talks about when a person builds a house, he should downsize. Mishnah Berurah writes that even in his day, the minhag was already not to do this. First of all, if you buy a house from someone else, then you're not obligated to do this. You don't have to break off a piece. But if you're building a house, then new. But he notes, Mishnah Berurah notes in his time already, people weren't doing this. People were not leaving a zeichel l'charb when they built a new house. He writes, "V'nei bezmanenu lo nahagu l'shaya." They don't leave off a piece. But tzarachin almana hagen heter. He doesn't really know why people are mekel. Shulchan Aruch goes on to list the other chumras, the other nihugi avelis that the Gemara mentioned, the zeichel l'churbans. The idea of when a person sets a meal, he should first of all take one thing off the menu, and number two, leave one place setting empty. Don't put a place setting where it belongs. Again, showing a sense of our achila is not complete without the Beis HaMikdash and its karbanos. The Be'er HaLachad, Mishnah Berurah writes, V'tzarachin, shekol ze eino hagen klal. We don't do this either. It's going to be a pattern over here. We're going to go through a whole list of Zecher L'Chorbans, and the common denominator is we don't do most of them anymore. And not all of them have good explanations of why they kind of fell off the face of the earth. Again, about the woman getting dressed up, leaving off one piece of jewelry, Be'er HaLachad writes, he's not sure why we don't do this anymore. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel talks about nowadays, not just the 3 weeks, no more music, ever. We should not listen to music. The Rama writes, maybe it's only true for people who are accustomed to music all the time, like a king, but maybe for regular people it's okay. It's difficult. Again, the minhag is to listen to music year-round. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, one of the Zecher L'Churban should be that we shouldn't listen to music, and we shouldn't sing on a cup of wine even without instruments. And it goes on and on and on. Again, Shulchan Aruch quotes the idea of Chasan and Kala not getting dressed up. Aruch HaShulchan says we don't do this anyway. We don't really feel the Zecher L'Churban because our Chasan and Kala never wore crowns. So we don't really feel that loss. So what are some Zecher L'Churbans that are practiced nowadays? So there are a lot more by wedding. The Rama here in Sif Bey's quotes. First of all, the idea of putting ashes on the Chasan's head. Some people still do that. The Rama quotes, V'yesh mekomo shenahagu l'shaber kos b'shas chuppah. This we do, break a glass onto the chuppah. And he quotes the Pasuk, Meshechechi Rishalayim, and very often we sing those words as or right before we break the glass. That one actually is pretty commonly practiced. I saw Shaila Me'achronim. Is it appropriate what people do nowadays when they break the glass, everyone yells out, Mazel Tov?
I'm wondering, shouldn't be more than that? I mean, it's almost like that's a signal to start getting happy.
Right, so the question is it appropriate people break the glass, everyone yells out, Mazel Tov?
Right.
Purpose of breaking the glass is to kind of temper our simcha. Yeah, so Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that it's not appropriate. He felt that either the chasen to break the glass during the singing of Meshechech, that way no one's saying Mazel Tov in response to breaking the glass, he thought it was a problem. Remember at my wedding, I tried to do that, but the person in charge of holding the glass wouldn't put it down until after the song was over. I was trying to get him to do it, but he had his own rules. So that's what the Rama writes, to break a glass at the time of the wedding, to remember, especially at the height of our simcha at a wedding, the Churban Abayis. This comes from the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos tells a story about certain weddings that were going on, and people were getting out of hand. The simcha was too much. And someone came with a glass, and he smashed it on the floor and shocked everyone, kind of like Moshe breaking the Luchos, which is one of the reasons we fast today. The idea of breaking something to get everyone's attention. So that's one that we actually do practice, breaking a glass under the chuppah. Another example, in Maseches Ksubis, and Daf Ches goes through all the Brachos that we say, Shavu Brachos. One of the Brachos doesn't seem to belong. Sosta sis chesagel akara, bekibutz banehal v'socha b'simcha, baruch atah Hashem mesameach tzion b'vaneha. This bracha is about geula, bringing back the Beis HaMikdash. That has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Sorry, nothing to do with a wedding. Why are we mentioning the Beis HaMikdash at the time of a wedding? So Rashi there in that Gemara explains, Lefi she'anu tzrichim lahalo zirchon Yerushalayim al rosh simchaseinu she'nemar tibak l'shoni l'chiki. Rashi says the reason why we make a bracha under the chuppah and all Shavu brachos, sostas is to remember the Churban HaBayis, is because specifically at a wedding it's appropriate to remember. So that's the second zecher l'churban that we do. Moving over to food, so we had wedding, we had a list of zecher l'churbans that we do, breaking the glass under the chuppah, the idea of making a bracha for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And when it comes to food, there's also a bunch of Zecher L'Churban. To mention the idea of leaving out one place setting, the idea of not serving everything on the menu, that one doesn't seem to be practiced nowadays. But the Mishnah Berurah writes at the beginning, This is the in Siman Aleph in Or HaChaim. He writes, Kasav Shla, Shebechol Su'uda Yomar Al Naros Bavel, Uveshabbos V'chein V'yamim Tovim, She'ein Omrim Behem Tafanun, Yomar Shira Malos, B'shuv Hashem Hashaviseinu. He writes, the minhag is, whenever a person benches, he should either say Al Naros Bavel or Shira Malos, because both of those mention the idea of being exiled and returning back. Al Naros Bavel has a more negative, sad, depressing tune to it. Shira Malos is more upbeat, B'shuv Hashem Hashivas Tzion, more exciting, discussing the actual returning. But he writes, a person's supposed to say one or the other. So we're pretty good about saying Shira Malos on Shabbos and Yom Tov before we bench. But he's saying to say it every single day. If you bench on a regular Tuesday in December, you should also be saying one or the other. If it's Chanukah, so you would say Shira Malos. If it's a regular day, then you would say Al Naros Bavel. I know some people who definitely do say one or the other, but it's not so widespread to say one or the other necessarily. I saw in a sefer that maybe in some of the Hasidic circles they said that they should say Shira Malos every single day. Not neither, but always see Shira Malos. They can't deal with a depressing thought of Al Naros Bavel. The words are so debilitating that they didn't feel it was appropriate to say it every single day. It would ruin our simcha of mitzvah, learning Torah. So they failed to say Shira Malos every single day. I heard an amusing story from Rabbi Shai Schechter from Young Israel of Woodmere. Can't say it's true, but it's definitely amusing. He said there was a Rebbe who felt this very strongly, that it was always appropriate to say Shira Malos because we can't really feel sad to really depress ourselves in Avodas Hashem. So he always looked for an excuse to say Shira Malos. If it wasn't Shabbos or Yantiv or Lag BaOmer, he would look for a reason. He would go to all his meals would be a Simchas Mitzvah. He would only eat at a Bris Mila or a Pidyon HaBen or a Suda of a Siyam, or he would go to a wedding in Shavuot. He would always find a way to have all his meals be a reason to say Shira Malos. And one time after many years, he couldn't find an excuse. He struck out. He really had to make Al Naros Bavel. So the Hasidim said, okay, now it's time to make Al Naros Bavel. And he said, wow, I've never in my entire life said Al Naros Bavel. This is so exciting. It calls for a celebration. Shira Malos. Right? He was so looking for that excuse. But he was saying one or the other, meaning it wasn't a matter of saying nothing, it's a matter of one or the other. So that's another Zecher L'Chorban, specifically around food, when we can lose ourselves. Shira Malos or Al Naros Bavel is a way to get ourselves thinking about Beis HaMikdash. We do say Yerushalayim and Shemona Esrei, and we say it in benching and in Al Michya, but it's a good reminder during food when we're feeling most content to remember Yerushalayim.
I'm saying too, but saying a lot of things are logical in what you're presenting. My question here, I'm not sure about leaving the place setting away. I mean, trying to remember missing somebody from Seal and obviously who's being missed. I mean, I understand that the love is with you when doing that part of the meal, and you said the part of the leaving the house undone, that makes
right. Leaving an empty place setting is supposed to show that we're not complete, that we're missing a guest, or we're not complete. It's just another way of showing that we're not complete. But again, like we pointed out, the minhag isn't to do that anyway. So it's an interesting minhag to begin with. Another example of during a su'uda, but it's a zecher l'churban, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Betzias HaPas, Hilchos Su'uda, in Kuf Pei, Nohagin l'chasos ha'sakin b'shas brachas ha'mazal. The minhag is to cover the knife during benching, but only during the week, not on Shabbos v'yantiv. Only during the week, he says, Shulchan Aruch writes, is there a minog to cover the knife? So the Achronim Beis Yosef really quotes two different reasons for the minog to cover the knife during benching. One has to do with the fact that our Shulchan is a Mizbeach, and you're not supposed to have a barzel, not supposed to have an iron knife, a sword, on the Mizbeach, so that would only apply if the knife is made of metal. But additionally, they quote a story from one of the Gaonim, Rinu Simcha, I think his name was, that he got to Bonei Yerushalayim. He was so distressed during benching that he saw the knife on the table and he injured himself. And the halacha was that based on that story, that there's a need to take the knife off the table or at least to cover the knife during Berachas HaMazon. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, this too is not widely practiced. Another example of a Zecher L'Chorban Chazal thought was a great idea to get us to remember, but it's not widely practiced. I heard an interesting comment by, in the name of Rabbi Saul Salanter, who said that because one person one time felt that sadness, we all have to do it nowadays. He said, no, not that we're saying that all of us are on that level to feel that way, but it's important for us to realize, wow, there once was someone on that level. Like, that's a good reminder for us. Even if we're not on the level to feel that sadness to the point of, God forbid, doing something dangerous, but what a reminder for a person to feel that, wow, there used to be people who would see a knife like this and couldn't move on when speaking about Bonei Yerushalayim. So these are some of the ideas of Zecher L'Chorban. Some of them are at weddings, during Suda, getting dressed up, building a house, So these are some details about Zecher L'Chorban. And like we mentioned, a lot of them are not practiced. So now that we know some of the examples of Zecher L'Chorban, let's ask the simple question of why. What exactly did Chazal want us to keep in mind? Simple level is the Chorban HaBayis, but what exactly do they want us to keep in mind? And this question is dealt with two Achronim on the Gemara as they attempt to explain why was it only after the second Chorban HaBayis that the Prushim came up with these ideas to swear off meat and wine. The Gemara makes no mention of any such feelings after the first Chorban HaBayis. So interestingly, the Ben Yoyada and the Chasam Sofer asked the same question, and they work with the same facts. They both say it has to do with the fact that Yirmiyahu HaNavi had foretold that there would be a set end, a 70-year period of Galus, and then a second Beis HaMikdash. But they take it in completely opposite directions, completely opposite, to explain why there was only a Zecher L'Chorban established after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Ben Ish Chai writes, Hada lo chardu al Beis HaRishon, b'pnei shehaya lo zman katsuv l'chorbanu shivim shana, dein zer zman rachok harbei. Probably, I think, is the simple understanding of what the Gemara is talking about, is that at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, they knew there was going to be a second one very soon, so they weren't so likely to forget about it, they weren't so distressed about the loss of it, it was a temporary loss, it was going to come back. They didn't feel the need to remind themselves, but this is Zecher L'Chorban. However, the Chasam Sofer takes the same fact and takes it in the exact opposite direction. He says that, no, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and they were told it wouldn't be rebuilt for 70 years. So not that they were hopeful, not that they knew it was going to come back, they knew it wasn't going to come back for at least 70 years. There was no point in reminding themselves of having a Zecher L'Chorban after the first Churban, because there was nothing they could do about it. They were foretold, you cannot get a second Beis HaMikdash until 70 years elapse. So what are they going to remind themselves about? What are they going to daven for? What are they going to feel sad about? There's nothing you can do about it. In contrast, the second Chorban was never given a time. So unlike Ben Noyada, who said that because there was no set time, it could be thousands of years, which unfortunately it has been, he says it could be any day. It could have been 69 years, or 3 years, or one day. For all they knew, there would be a Chorban for one day, they'd come back the next morning and be rebuilt again. It was in their control. And therefore, the second Beis HaMikdash was something, he explains, that every day that goes by that it wasn't rebuilt, it's a separate Chorban. Because they had the opportunity to have a second Beis HaMikdash at any time, the next day, a year later, any time it could have been rebuilt, any day when it's not rebuilt is a sign that they weren't worthy of it. The first Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't have gotten back even if they tried. There's no reason to feel bad. So you really see two different ideas of Zecher L'Chorban. The Ben Yoyada is talking about a Zecher L'Chorban so we don't forget the Beis HaMikdash. So when it's a short Galus, 70 years, we're not going to forget about it. When it's a long Galus, potentially thousands of years, then it's appropriate to have reminders for ourselves. So that's one element of Zecher L'Chorban. But a reminder, don't forget. The second element is the Chasam Sofer. It's a different element completely. He's saying it's not about remembering what was. It's the current Avelis today. The fact that there wasn't a set time when it's going to be rebuilt, that means that today could be rebuilt. And if it wasn't, that's a Chorban separately. It's a Zecher L'Chorban. It's a mini Chorban today. There's a reason to be sad today, not because of what happened a few thousand years ago only. Because today, in the middle of July in 2019, that's another example of Zecher L'Chorban. We did not earn it back when we could have gotten it back. That's another reason to be upset. As he pointed out, even though nowadays we kind of feel that the loss of the Chorban during this time of year, starting today and for the next 3 weeks, Chazal intended us to feel this loss throughout the year, and Baruch Hashem, we still daven it 3 times a day, and we say B'nai Yerushalayim and benching and Al Michya. We began by asking, isn't it excessive? Aren't we mourning Yosar Midai in terms of doing too much? I don't think we're doing too much. Sounds like there are a lot more things we could have been doing over the years that kind of fell by the wayside. We kind of limited our remembering of the Chorban to these 3 weeks. And during davening and benching, if you remember, a lot of the other things that were put out there. And even these 3 weeks that we have, people kind of, and this is something that I do myself, it's kind of uncomfortable to be in that sad state. Not only all year round, but even these 3 weeks. It's, okay, no music, where's the best a cappella I could find? Or there's no meat for the 9 days. Like, where's the best milchik restaurant I could find? That we're not even comfortable during these 3 weeks dealing with that sadness, dealing with that uncomfortability. And even the Tainus itself, Mishnah Berurah already writes, in his day it was common, this is then Taf Kuf Mem Tes, the beginning of Hilchos Tainios, he writes that in his day it was common for people who had a difficult time fasting to while away the day with distractions. He didn't have Netflix in his days, but you can imagine what he's talking about. The idea of, it's so hard for us to fast and feel this lust, let's just fast by not feeling anything, by going to a game, by, you know, playing something, by distracting ourselves. He writes that they're really mixing up Iker and Tafel. The Iker really isn't the fasting. Right? The Iker is to work on ourselves. The Iker is to perfect ourselves, to remember the Chorban, to perfect ourselves, to become worthy of the rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash. If people kind of forget about that by fasting, technically not eating, but spending their day distracting themselves, he writes that they're holding on to the Tafel and they're really ignoring the Iker. Rabbi Yoshua at the end of the Gemara said that on the one hand, we can't mourn too much. We also can't mourn too little. In his day, there was a risk of mourning too much. I don't think we have that concern nowadays. I don't think anyone is mourning too much for the Chorban HaBayis. We have the opposite problem, that we're not mourning enough. That if it's not the fact that we're not doing the Zecher LeChorban's Chazal laid out for us in Shulchan Aruch throughout the year, then even during these 3 weeks, it's important for us to kind of maximize it. And if we're going to be davening Shmona Esrei anyway and saying Boni Yerushalayim as Tzemach David, and during benching saying Boni Yerushalayim anyway, so you might as well take advantage of that and try to capture those feelings that Chazal wanted us to feel. So I think with all this in mind, with these two ideas, the Ben Yoyada and the Chasam Sofer, there's two ideas of a Zecher LeChorban. One is Ben Yoyada, not to forget. A lot of time has passed, we don't naturally feel it anymore. A Zecher LeChorban helps us remember what happened a long, long time ago. The second element was the Chasam Sofer. It's not about remembering what happened a long time ago, it's a mini Chorban today. If we don't have it rebuilt today, then that shows that we failed, and it's kind of like it was destroyed today. And there's a reason for Chorban that day itself. With these two ideas of Zecher LeChorban, I believe we can go back and try to answer the questions with which we started. We started off with Rav Soloveitchik's idea that the Avelos of the 3 weeks of the Chorban HaBayis is paralleled after the Avelos for a Mace. So one question we asked is, well, why is it backward? Why, when it comes to a mace, does it start off with Shiva and get less intense? And by us, it's the 3 weeks and gets more intense toward Tisha B'Av. Rav Soloveitchik explained that it makes sense why they're different, because we're feeling different things when they start. When a person, Rachmana Litzlan, loses a relative, they feel like they can't move on. They have intense feelings of grief and they don't know what to do with themselves. So we say, don't repress it, don't ignore the feelings, channel those feelings into intense avelos. First day aninas, don't do any mitzvos, just focus on the mace. 3 days for crying, the rest of Shiva is for sitting and listening, not going to work, just focusing on the mace. Don't ignore the fact that there was a tragedy. Take your feelings that you can't get over and channel them. But then, over time, taper it off. After Shiva, we're not going to go cold turkey, we're going to go to Shloshim, where you can do some things, but you can't do other things. And taper off more. For a parent, for your base Chodesh, we're going to have a little bit more for the rest of the year, but less than Shloshim. And then, once a year, on a Yahrzeit, maybe. To fast on a Yahrzeit, maybe not to fast on a Yahrzeit, but this idea of tapering it off. The feelings start off really intense. People naturally feel like they can't move on. So it makes sense to start intense, channel those feelings properly, and then go lesser over time. When it comes to Chorban HaBayis, no one's feeling that. No one feels immediately we could jump into these intense feelings of sadness. We have to work the opposite. Like the Ben Yoyada said, because it's been thousands of years, we don't naturally feel the Chorban. We need Zecher LeChorban to remind us. We can't just jump 0 to 60. We have to start small. Okay, first fast on Shavuot B'Tamos. And then start with not getting a haircut and no listening to music like you usually do during the 3 weeks. And then the 9 days will get a little more intense. Not to have meat and wine as a remembering of the Mizbeach that's lost. And not to take warm showers and not to cut your nails. And then Tisha B'Av itself, to sit on the floor. Imagine if we did it properly, if we really started out with those small feelings step by step, had a proper Shavuot B'Tamos, had a proper 3 weeks, had a proper 9 days, a proper Erev Tisha B'Av, building up slowly, slowly. When Tisha B'Av comes, there's actually a chance to feel something. Because he calls it Avelos Yeshana, if it's an old Avelos, so something that happened thousands of years ago, we can't just jump right into naturally feeling extremely sad. You have to start small and build it up. In contrast to a mace, which is extremely sad at the beginning, and the goal is to taper off and reincorporate yourself back into life. So that answers the first question of why the Avelos is backwards, because we kind of have to accustom ourselves to feel it, since we don't naturally feel it after all these thousands of years. Our second question was, isn't it Avelos Yosur Midai to still be doing these things all these years later? Well, according to the Chasam Sofer, it's not all these years later. There's a daily Chorban we're experiencing. The Chasam Sofer's idea of a Zecher L'Chorban wasn't just remembering what happened thousands of years ago. He felt it was only appropriate after Bayis Sheni was destroyed to have a Zecher L'Chorban, because every day it wasn't rebuilt is a mini Chorban in of itself. So it's not some ancient Avelis that's still carrying on Yosher Midai for thousands of years. It's, well, if we don't have it back today, that's something in of itself to feel sad about. That's something in of itself for us to mourn about, and that would be true as long as it goes on. Each day is another reason to feel sad. Additionally, as far as the question of, isn't it Yosher Midai, what do the Gemara say? Why is it inappropriate to mourn Yosher Midai? Hashem says, Yatam Rachmanim Yosher Mimeni. You're not more compassionate than I am, and Hashem is able to move on from a person passing away, so we should be able to too. Well, if that's the case, if Hashem was able to move on from the Chorban HaBayis, then you're right, it would be Yosher Midai, it would be excessive to mourn longer than Hashem. But that's not the case. Moran Brachos and Daf Gimel says, Amar Yitzchak Bar Shmua Mishmei Derav, Shalosh Mishmaros Hayu Halayla, V'Yalkol Mishmar Mishmar, Yosher V'Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Sholei Ka'ari V'Omer. 3 times a night, every day, 3 times a day, at night, Hashem cries out, Oy Lebanim Shavonoseyam, Hecharavti Yisbeisim, V'Sarafti Yisheichali, V'Iglisim, Lebein Umos Olam. Hashem, every single night, 3 times a night, calls out, "Oy to my children, whose averos led me to destroy the Beis Hamikdash and to exile them." If the reason we can't mourn excessively for a mace is because we can't do more than Hashem is doing, we're not. By Chorban Yerushalayim, Hashem is mourning every single day. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, at the very beginning of Or HaChaim, in Siman Aleph, Sif Gimel, Roy L'chol Yarei Shemayim, Shiyehei Meitzer V'Doeg Ala Chorban Beis Hamikdash. And that's the halacha of Tikkun Chatzos, it's all discussed there in Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Siman Aleph. You don't have to get too far to get to it. So as far as our question of isn't it Yosher Midai, on the one hand, it's not Yosher Midai because it's not some ancient Avelis. It's, according to the Chasam Sofer, Zecher L'Chorban is about what happened today. We had the chance to rebuild it today and we didn't. So that itself is a today reason. That's not Yosher Midai, that's immediate. And secondly, the reason you can't mourn Yosher Midai is because it shows Hashem we're mourning more than you are. Hashem is mourning 3 times a day. Even if we would do all the Al Naros Bavels and the Efer Makla on top of the Chasan and the leaving out from the meal, if we did all those things, it still wouldn't be more than Hashem. Hashem is mourning, crying out 3 times a night. So if that's the case, it wouldn't be excessive for us to do so. So, but why in fact is that true? Meaning, why is Hashem crying out every single night? Why doesn't Hashem feel that it's time to move on? So the simplest answer to why it's not Avelis Yosher Midai Al Ames to mourn for Yerushalayim is because Yerushalayim is not dead. When a person loses a relative, Rachmana Litzlan, there's nothing a person can do to bring that back. So we said there's a finite time intended to help move on, because there's nothing you can do about it. There's no help to living in the past. There's no help to feeling that loss that intensely forever. When it comes to Yerushalayim, if the Chasam Sofer is right, that every day is a mini Churban, because every day we can bring it back, so then it means that it's still alive. If we have the opportunity to bring it back every single day, you can't call that a mace. You can't say that it's Misabel Yosher Midai, when it's still in our control to fix something. This is what Rashi quotes in Parshas Vayeshev, that Yaakov Avinu was unable to accept Nechama for the loss of Yosef. So Rashi quotes from the Maram Pesachim, Nandalat, I think, that Yaakov couldn't get over Yosef's loss because he wasn't dead. It's a gzera that a mace is forgotten after 12 months, but it doesn't apply to a living person. He's still there. How could he forget about him? So Yaakov Avinu for 22 years felt that same intensity of Aninus or Shiva. He felt that intensity because there was no getting over it because Yosef was still around somewhere. Good question is, why didn't Yaakov realize Yosef was still alive from the fact that he couldn't get over it? That's an interesting question. But this idea that Yerushalayim is not dead, this idea that Chasam Sofer, we can bring back Yerushalayim every single day, that itself is a reason to feel comfort. That's a reason to say that Yerushalayim can be mourned every single day. And it's within our control to bring it back every single day. That itself is a reason to feel a sense of simcha, even though we're not where we're supposed to be. But there's something consoling about that. That's how the Chasam Sofer explained the last line of our Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua concluded, "Kol Misabel al Yerushalayim zocha v'roeh b'simchasa." Usually translated as, whoever mourns for Yerushalayim will be meriting to see in the future the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. But that's not the grammar. It says, Kol Misabel al Yerushalayim zoche, which is in present tense, v'roe. What does that mean? A person who is Misabel al Yerushalayim sounds like today is seeing the simcha. Not one day. If you mourn properly, you'll merit to one day see it. It sounds like there's something today that's giving you simcha when you're mourning today without the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chasam Sofer explained the fact that we can still mourn it after all these thousands of years, that's a sense of simcha. It's not dead. If it was dead, we would get over it by now. The fact that we can still mourn thousands of years later is a real sense of simcha. They tell the story, this will come to a close, of Napoleon. They say that Napoleon, I'm not sure if the story is true, but it's told enough times that by now it's true because we say it, that Napoleon passed by a temple, a shul, and he realized that they were crying and screaming, and he went inside and he wanted to know, why are the Jews crying in this night in the middle of July? And they explained that there was a loss of a big, beautiful temple. And he says, really? A beautiful temple? I never saw this temple. When did this happen? He considered himself a very well-informed person, and he wanted to know why he didn't hear about this destruction. He said, no, this happened almost 2,000 years ago. And he said, you're mourning still? You're crying as if it happened yesterday? You're still mourning over the loss of a building of 2,000 years ago? And they said, yes, and they explained to him what it meant to them. And supposedly he had the famous comment that any nation that can mourn over the loss of a temple this many years will merit to see it once again. I mean, if you feel that connection, if it doesn't seem dead to you, if it feels like you can still go on after all these years, that's a sense of simcha today. Right, that's what the Chasam Sofer says. It's pshat in the present tense. Kol Mesabal Yerushalayim Zocha V'Roa today b'Simcha. So you're feeling some sense of Simcha, the fact that we are able to mourn. It's not Yosem Midai because it's not dead, and that itself is a reason to give us comfort, to allow us to keep feeling this Avelus, but with the intention of bringing it back as soon as we can. So we started off with going through different examples of Zecher L'Chorban. They had to do with building a new house. They were food related, leaving a table setting, leaving a food off the menu, or covering the knife, or saying Al Naros Bavel, or mentioning Yerushalayim and benching Al Michya, or they were related to clothing, the Chassan and Kala not wearing their crowns, or putting ashes on the head of the Chassan. They were wedding and Simcha related, not listening to music, breaking the glass out of the Chuppah, Sostasis, all these brachos that explain this idea of never forgetting Yerushalayim. We saw two main reasons why Chazal instituted this concept of Zecher L'Chorban. One is Ben Yehoyada, this idea of it's been so long, we don't want to forget about it. We don't naturally feel this way. And that's why we need to have these reminders. So especially since we're not so good about the year-round Zecher L'Chorbans, it's incumbent upon us now, in these 3 weeks, where we're all extra focused on this, to do what the Ben Yehoyada recommended, to view Zecher L'Chorban as a way not to forget. And because it's so unnatural, we don't naturally feel this sense of sadness, Soloveitchik explained that the Avelus goes up in intensity, slowly, slowly increasing, so we can feel it better. And the second element of Zecher L'Chorban was what the Chasam Sofer wrote, that we dafka needed a Zecher L'Chorban when there is the ability to get it back at any time. And when that's possible, it means two things. First of all, whenever we don't, that's a reason for sadness in of itself. So that's one reason why it's not Yosem Midai. It's not a very old Avelus only. It's also mourning the fact that today something is missing. Today we didn't do our job properly. Additionally, the fact that it's able to be built every single day would also explain why it's not able to go away. We can't possibly get over the Churban HaBayis because it's something that we feel is still out there within our ability to bring back. So even if we're not experts at incorporating all these Zecher L'Chorbans into our daily avoda with Al Naros Bavel, at least the ones that we're all doing anyway with fasting and 3 weeks and the Nugei Avelis, to do our best to possibly have extra kavana during Berachas HaMazon, extra kavana during Bonei Yerushalayim, and just want to ask for the things that we're doing anyway. This might be a good time to kind of tap into those Zecher L'Chorbans to keep it alive, to keep it going, and to really feel that Avelis. And as the Gemara concluded, Kol Mes Abel Yerushalayim Zocha V'Ro B'Simchasa Meher V'Yameinu. Amen.
Amen.